It's awesome to see everyone this morning on this beautiful day. First day of snow. Gay had to take a picture for our daughter and say, "We beat you." She's in Cleveland, and normally they beat us with this first snow, but we beat her this year. She goes, "Well, I bet by December we have more than you." That is the case. I hope so, exactly. This could be the one snow of the year. Anybody going to be good with that?
Yes.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Well, let's just open our hearts today and just get ready to let God set a fire in us. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And Lord, we just give this time to you. We put this service, Lord, in your hands,
yes,
Father, and we ask that your will would be done here today in this place, Lord, as you have desired it to be done in the heavenlies. So, Lord, we surrender this time of singing and worshiping you, Lord. We surrender the time of sharing and communication. Lord, we just pray that there would just be an awakening, Lord, in all of our hearts of the greater dimensions of your love, the greater depths, Lord, of who we are in you, Lord, because of what you've done for us. Lord, as the song says, there's no place we would rather be this morning. All of us made a choice to be here. All of us chose to come here today. So, Lord, let us feel and establish, Lord, a new, fresh relationship with you. Let your love flow, God, in a supernatural way, that it just changes and transforms each and every one of us into who you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus.
I'm here in your love, here in your love.
And it seems like in winter time, nighttime, that the dark time is as much as the light time in the natural world, right? And we try and go about our day as if the nighttime really kind of didn't exist. It's like, you know, in the daytime, we get everything done. We do our job. We, you know, watch our kids. We do everything that we do. But at nighttime, it used to be nighttime really bugged me because, you know, nighttime can be a terrible season. But I've come to realize that nighttime is a great time for God to talk to me and for Him to get His point across to me, because every other sense is kind of low and my hearing is kind of up and I don't sleep a whole lot anyway. And so He knows He can get my attention really quickly. And sometimes we miss opportunities to really, like, when we wake up at nighttime, I don't know if you guys do, but I do a lot. And I say, okay, God, why am I awake? What's it about? What am I, who am I praying for? Is it me? What'd I do? You know, just things like that. But there's such growth at nighttime. Babies, when they sleep, that's their grow time. And that's us, you guys, at nighttime when we're going through the hard part and the, you know, all of the bumps and all of the stuff, it's grow time for us. So don't despise the dark. I mean, I'm not talking about the enemy dark. I'm talking about when God calls you to time out and, you know, time away and time apart. Don't despise it. Just say, okay, it's me and you, Lord, you know, what do you want? And so today with, you know, the day, is it daylight savings time? Is that what it is? Yeah. Us backing up, it's going to be like, you know, it's going to get darker quicker and it's going to seem to be darker longer. Now's a perfect time for the natural to remind us of the supernatural, that God calls us to speak to us and to tell us glorious things that He has in store for us and ways to make our lives more about Him and less about us. So let's sing that again.
Thank you. Yeah.
No falling on our watch, right? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm moving these over here. I don't know if it's actually going to mean anything, but so as many of you know, I get up early on Sunday mornings, unless I've gotten something on Saturday or during the week, and then I'll start studying. But when I don't have anything, like, for sure, I just get up, you know, and start praying and seeking the Lord and, you know, seeking for what he kind of wants to do today. And he was really quiet about what he wants to do today. And so we had a few dishes, so I actually did some dishes and said, okay, Lord, this is all good. You've got it. And I was telling Gay, I said, honey, I don't have anything for today. And, you know, it's like 45 minutes, but, you know, we can all stare and look at each other. But, you know, she just said, well, it's okay. It's good. He's got it. It's got it. And so it's good. He's God. So, and he's done it many times where I haven't had anything. So I moved that mic over here. So this morning, a few different individuals have showed up that, you know, tells me maybe the Lord does have something else in mind. And so right now I'm going to ask Josh Crofton to come up and just sit down for a moment. Josh and I meet about once a week at least, don't we? Unless you're out of town. What?
I'm wearing my jacket because I'm cold.
You're wearing your jacket because you're cold. You're good. You're good. And well, we always talk about, you know, sometimes really, really deep things, which you can't necessarily get into here. But
well, maybe we could.
Maybe we could, yeah. Someone can maybe interpret for us at times. That might help. But when I saw you, it's like, okay, Lord, you're doing something here. And, you know, not that I'm trying to put Josh on the spot, but I know what he holds inside of him. You know, I know that he's been somebody that's for years consecrated yourself to the Lord, you know, and really, really poor, you know, like this guy can quote scripture better than me. I'll like paraphrase the scripture and he'll like quote it verbatim. But above beyond just knowing the word and be able to quote it, you've had to walk it out. And, I mean, like never before the past couple of years.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. You know, so I got up this morning, and my name is Josh Crofton.
Oh, sorry, I said Josh, come on up. Yeah, that's a great introduction too, isn't it?
As Mike said, Mike and I are dear friends. Last couple of years, God's taken us both on a journey together where we have spent and invested a lot of time and a lot of coffee money.
A lot of coffee money. Starbucks has gotten wealthy off
yes,
of us.
Yes, yes. But for the last 2 years, I don't know if there's really been more than a few days, maybe a week that's gone by where we haven't gotten together
right.
And dialogued or just talked with each other, just kind of threw things out there at each other. Mike's been a dear friend as far as just walking me through some things personally also. And so I got up this morning and I was on my way to another church and I just was like, I don't think I want to go there. So I decided to come this direction.
And blessed us with your presence.
I'm blessed with your guys' presence. I'm blessed with his presence.
Amen.
Anyway, I just think we're in a very unique time right now. The body of Christ is.
We are in a very unique time. And I was discussing that with somebody last night.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that we come together to worship. We come together to, you know, be in God's presence together and all of that, but kind of throw the agenda out the window sometimes and let's just dialogue. Let's just see what God's saying and what he's doing in all of our hearts and what we sense that he's doing in the church right now and in our nation.
Exactly.
And kind of see what comes out. Does that make sense? Is everyone okay with that? Okay. I like for people to be comfortable. Don't you hate it when you feel uncomfortable?
We're usually pretty comfortable around here.
So I like feeling comfortable.
Good.
So
So are you comfortable?
I am. And one of the things you and I have been talking about, and I think we discussed this the other day, is what it's like to kind of live in the tension of this is what God said, but how do I get to the fulfillment of what he said? Or how
right.
do I, what does that process look like from the starting point of God speaking something over your life or giving you a promise in your life, but then seeing that promise fulfilled? I think all of us probably have something in our lives where we feel that, where
right.
there's something we're wanting, there's something we're leaning into, wanting to see what God's doing and how he's going to do it, but yet we don't know.
Right. Yeah, well, and the whole dilemma of, you know, knowing in our heart that that's what God has for us, and yet the current existence could be, you know, total opposite.
Yeah.
You know, and it does not look like what he has promised or what he has planned for us is it going to ever come to pass. So we lose heart sometimes.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
I for some reason, I don't know why God set it up that way, but that's where faith comes in.
That's where faith comes in.
That's where trust comes in, that he is faithful to complete what he's begun in our lives.
Right.
And I think many people are in that place right now where what God has said and what he's put inside of you, for some reason, it just, you've gone through things, you've gone through different seasons and testings and different things in your life, and the outward appearance looks totally opposite to what God said, but yet the promise is still there.
Right.
And so I'm excited because I know he's good.
Right.
Regardless of what things look like, in whether it's my life personally, whether it's any of our lives, he's good.
Yeah. He's a good father. He's loving. He has more of I guess you could say a rooting force than anyone else here. And
yeah.
he knows what he's doing. Even in the difficult times, we know that he works those for our good. And I mean, sometimes, I mean, like for you, both you and myself, we've both gone through divorces.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
is like the most worst time of your life.
Worst time, 100%.
It literally tears you apart. And yet God takes that disastrous moment and says, no, that's not the end.
Right.
That's not the final chapter.
Yeah.
And takes that brokenness and then says, you know what? I'm not going to just, you know, have you settle for something. There's going to be a brand new plan A for you.
Yeah.
And that's like crazy. Because,
yeah.
I mean, where else in the world do you talk about, you know, when you have a setback at most companies, well, you know, you're going to be over here working, you know, in the warehouse now. You know, you kind of really blew it, you know, and, you know, you kind of, you're demoted.
Yeah.
But God says, no. We're going to move you from this company. You're going to have a brand new plan A where you're now running the company.
Yeah.
Where you shouldn't, by no, you know, reason, there should be no reason why we should have that kind of opportunity. But by his grace and grace alone, he takes us when we're at our lowest most of the time and raise us up.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting. You talk about a new plan A. And I think it's, all of us have gone through things in life that are painful and that don't make any sense. But yet God is not limited by our circumstances or situations. He's not limited by pain, although he knows fully what that pain is.
Right.
Christ is completely familiar with hurt, with pain, with rejection, with loss. He suffered it all for us.
Right.
But when a door shuts in life, when something comes to the end, sometimes the enemy tries to get us to think that, like you said, oh, we're being demoted now. Or what I thought God had for me, you know, I didn't measure up to it. Or I missed the boat, or I missed that opportunity, and now I'm going to have to go through something, you know, that's less than his best. But that's not how the kingdom of God works. That's not who he is. And God is in the business of promoting people when they seem like they're at their lowest place.
Right.
I think of Joseph all the time. I think of Joseph being sold into slavery. Joseph being stuck in a prison for something he didn't do.
Yeah. Falsely accused.
Falsely accused. Totally forgotten about, except not by God. And in one moment, after he had been through this trial, this testing that I think they say that theologians say that it might have been like a 17-year period.
Almost 20 years, yeah. I guess, is what it was. Yeah. If you look at his age.
Of him being a slave and going through all these different things, in one moment, God took him out of a prison and made him second in command over the whole earth. In one moment. If God can do that with Joseph and in the darkest place, I mean, think about what he can do in our lives.
Amen.
Think about what he's able to restore and do in your life and to bring you through and to set you in a high place that he's called you to. You know, I'm convinced that God absolutely loves family, that God's a family man. You know what I'm saying? He loves the family unit. He loves seeing marriages go well. He loves seeing kids raised and having their parents and kids being loved on by their fathers and their mothers.
Right.
And you know, in our nation today, there's such an attack that's been against family. I know what that's like. I've gone through it. But it doesn't negate where his heart is.
Right.
And the grace he gives all of us to raise our families well and to do the right things. And I believe God's heart is to restore families. It's to watch over kids. It's that fathers would raise their kids up well and cause them to be good sons and daughters, that mothers would nurture their kids and nurture their relationships. God's in the middle of all that. He loves family. And I think that's a move we're going to see come into the church. I think we're going to see God just come into the church and begin to bless families like crazy.
So are you saying it's all about family?
It's all about family. Look at that. Didn't even see that. It's all about family. That's right.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, first the singular family structure of each individual home. And then through the grace of God, being able to come together as families and be a family together.
Yeah.
And to, you know, and families, I mean, sometimes it's rough as families. Sometimes relationships get tensioned.
Yeah.
But you know what? What I love about God is that if your heart is willing to change and be transformed, he'll make sure that you can grow through difficult times.
God's in the tension.
He's in the tension.
Like think about that. In situations, whether it's in a spousal relationship or relationships with people you love, or whether it's just circumstance in your life that where there's tension, it could be on the job, it could be just you're going through a trying time in your heart, whatever. He's in the tension.
Yeah.
He's right there with you, and he's wanting to walk with you through it. God is more invested in your life than anyone else.
Right.
God is so invested in each and every one of us that he's willing to spill his blood for us. That he's willing just to lay it all down and give everything so that you and I could have everything.
Amen.
And sometimes we forget that. Do you realize right now in this moment, you said this the other day, we put our blessings or we put things we want in this life, we put them out there in the future, or, well, it's just not the time yet for me to be healed, or it's just not the time yet for me to prosper or to have this or to have that. But that's not the reality. That's not the gospel.
No. It is finished.
It is finished. Everything Jesus has, he's given to us.
Right.
And it's available right now. Doesn't matter what it is.
Healing. Restoration.
All of it. Doesn't matter. Yet we take God and we, for some reason, we put it off for another
right.
time. Everything that is in heaven is ours right now. Every spiritual, what's that scripture? We've been blessed
with all
every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places
heavenly
in
places.
Christ Jesus.
Yeah. I told you he does it.
Right now. I can't tell you where that's at. He can look it up.
I think it's Ephesians.
Ephesians,
yeah.
There you go. I think chapter 1.
Somewhere in there, yeah.
but the point is, we have it all right now, but yet how much are we actually accessing?
Right. How much are we confident that is ours?
Right.
I think we all have different levels that we're able to appropriate. We all have different levels that we're able to take now and start living in. But like you're saying, it's all there for us.
Yep.
And until we renew our mind to the place where we know that it's been freely given, renew the mind, yep.
He's withheld no good thing from any of us.
Yeah.
Nothing is being withheld. Yet we live in this tension that tries to speak otherwise. We live in this world that or even just a religious spirit or a way that maybe we were raised up or wrong teaching or thinking that thinks that somehow you have to measure up to get what God has for you.
Or you have to jump through enough
hoops.
Yes,
if you do this, this, and this right, I'll bless you. That's totally false.
That's heresy.
It's heresy. Ooh, we're using big words now.
Well, it is, because if it's up to us that we have to do something to receive from God, we're taking away from being freely given. We're taking away from God doing the work.
He's done
it all.
And
us just agreeing with it, right?
I mean, obviously, that doesn't mean we just live our lives how we want. And, you know, we obviously live a life that is yielded to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
But the reality is, if I base what I'm going to get from God on my performance, I'm going to be broke the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to have nothing. And it's my own wrong thinking that would create that reality.
Right.
It's not Him. And I think God wants us to really get it, that He's given us all things, and quit trying to jump through hoops to receive what He's freely given.
Amen.
It's ours. It's yours simply because He loves you.
Amen.
Simply because He loves us that much that you're already a son or daughter in the kingdom.
Right.
So therefore, everything He has is already yours by inheritance. There's nothing withheld. We could just stay on that the entire time.
Could meditate on that.
We
the time.
Could totally.
I think Vicky's got something. Did you? Are you? Is it gone?
I was just gonna say, I'm 50, so I'm not in the baby boomer age, but I'm not in the generation age behind me. And I remember when I was going to school, we had classes that taught us how to write a check, how to take care of our children, how to have living life skills, and now. My parents, my mom did the best that she could to raise us up right.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught to respect our parents. But I remember seeing as I was going through school, the kids coming up behind us, the classes changed. The school got involved and started teaching them your truth is relevant. What is truth? And so, and I'm a caregiver now, and I take care of the aged, our parents.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the big difference between the parents who raise their children up with respect for the Lord and respect for God's truth and respect for family and love, and the parents who didn't. Because those are the parents that have their children coming and visiting them, taking care of them, doing them, even though they're living, you know, in a facility and stuff. Whereas other parents now, that would be the age of, say, some of our younger kids' parents in the 60s, they're 60 years of age, and their children
don't visit them.
Or when they come, it's a burden, and they let their parent know it's a burden. And it's a sad thing to see, because I do see the revelation happening a lot in the way kids are today. But it's interesting to see, because I have a good friend of ours that brought us to this church, and he believed exactly how you're talking, that God has everything in store for us. All we have to do is believe and ask and go towards that. And for some reason, he all of a sudden believed a lie and became this questioner that said, well, why don't I have to do more? I'm supposed to do more. And now is so very legalistic and has to do all these rites and performances.
Oh, yeah.
And it was really sad to see that, because he's lost his family because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a lie that he's believed and he taught them forever. And when he came to God, he was in the middle of being high.
Yeah.
And the Lord grabbed him up and said, no more. And he followed.
Right.
And now he's believed that legalistic, I can't just believe. I can't just receive what God has.
Yeah, it's unfortunate when people go through situations where pain is involved, because pain is an interesting motivator in life.
Yeah, it is.
You go through certain things that are painful and hurtful, and all of a sudden you find yourself questioning things that used to be concrete. And there's nothing, let me say this, there's nothing wrong with questioning God. There's nothing wrong with questioning the Word even.
Yeah.
God's a big boy. He can handle it. You know what I'm saying? It's when we allow hurt or pain to take root and it turns into bitterness or unbelief.
Resentment.
That's where the danger is.
Right.
But when we process pain, God created us to process pain. He created us in a way to filter those things out and to have feelings and emotions. But the key is not to let those feelings and emotions govern over our lives, but to have that foundation in the Word and relationship with Him and let Him work those things through us. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm being confident that, yeah, you know, the sufferings that we go through, whether they be, you know, trials or whether they be, you know, literally physical pain, that they're not to be compared to the glory,
yeah,
that's going to be released and revealed, yeah, in us and manifested in our lives.
Yeah.
And even though you want to compare it, like you look at where you're at right now and say, can it get any better? Is it ever going to get any better? Or is this my lot in life? But I believe you're absolutely right that no matter what today looks like, that God has a future and a hope for every single person.
Yep, absolutely.
And that sometimes it just takes remaining and standing or staying wherever you're at and not letting the circumstances overwhelm you.
Yeah, leaning on God. You know, I found that in my weakest moments where just everything's gone wrong in life, or it just seems like, you know, it's hit the fan. Okay? You know what I'm saying? When you have no strength, that's totally fine.
Right.
God has an endless supply of strength.
Yeah. Well, and His strength is actually perfected in our weakness.
In our weaknesses. And leaning on Him and letting Him be the one that strengthens you, or letting Him be the one that walks you through situations and circumstances in life. Because He knows what direction He wants,
right,
to take you. There's something about weakness, like you said, that Paul said it in Corinthians, chapter 12, I think, 2 Corinthians 12. He talked about, in my weakness, His strength is perfected. And being in a place where God allows you to be weak or go through things, it's an invitation for grace. It's an invitation for the power of God to come into those situations and manifest His goodness.
Right.
And his ability to work it out. Are you?
We tend to live in the but.
Okay, go ahead and.
You know what I'm saying? I trust you, God, but. I love you, God, but. And we live in that three-letter small section without allowing the hope of glory to come into our hearts. And I think we nurture that one little area, because, and pet it and love on it, because it's comfortable to be there. I don't have to do anything. I'm hurt, so it's okay that I stay there. I'm in pain, so it's okay that I stay there. Mm-hmm. However, God says, no, there is more beyond that. So stop saying, but. Just say, I trust you. I love you. Because I'm weak, you're strong. I mean, say these things and don't put the but at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get off your butt.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's good. You got any more? Are you good?
Oh, I think we could keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the scriptures that I feel like the Lord has really put in my spirit has been in Hebrews chapter 4, where it talks about laboring to enter God's rest.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, that's like this paradox, right?
It's an oxymoron, yeah.
But laboring to enter His rest, meaning, and then that scripture goes on to say that God ceased from His labor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important we learn how to just abide in His rest. You know, there's so many things in life that want to pull you out of the rest of God and make you feel like you have to figure this out, or you've got to fix this or do this or do that. Remain in his rest, because in that you're remaining in this finished work, this promise that he has for you, letting him figure things out. Let him work things out. Your job is to rest in him and just remain in that place of faith and trust in him.
Right. You know? And if I remember that Greek word, that literally means like work hard.
Yeah.
It's not like just like, oh yeah, just enter into his rest. No, it means to
yeah.
work hard, physical labor to enter into his rest. And it takes that, because it's not easy to rest.
Yeah.
It's easier to do something.
Yeah.
And so that you can say, I did something with my own hands.
Right.
The other day, it's interesting you said that. I was thinking about this because it's a paradox. Okay, so how do I labor and enter his rest? And he was showing me, well, what do you do when you build a house? You know, you put up this foundation and you put up the walls and, you know, and you start putting in sheetrock and all these things. You run the electricity and everything. And you're laboring to create something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's from a plan.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you're not just going to just start, you know, pouring cement just and all over the, there's got to be some, there's yeah. a plan. And so he showed me that laboring to enter his rest is to take his plan and work his plan.
Yeah.
The key is knowing his plan for our lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yes. which even that, knowing his plan for our lives, it's like that can be, that's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process, you know, because God doesn't have just one thing for your life. And sometimes we get led to believing that God has just one way of doing things. Like, for example, you're called to be a pastor. Well, if I just limited your life to a pastor, there's a whole lot of things in life that aren't going to get accomplished by
right.
you.
Oh, come on. That's
you are multifunctional.
Yeah.
Each of you are multifunctional. And sometimes we buy into this way of thinking that says, well, God's way is so narrow. If I take a wrong step, if I go to the left or go to the right, I somehow miss God's plan for my life. That's totally untrue. I think God's curious enough to be like, I wonder which way he's going to go. And because if he takes a left, I'm going to work this out for him. If he takes a right, I'm going to be right there with him and work this out. It's not, we've created this fear-based relationship with God sometimes.
My way or the highway?
Right. That somehow you're going to disappoint him.
And if you think about what earthly father would sit there and be disappointed if, you know, let's say their son comes to them, you know, Dad, I want to do this. And, oh, that's great. You know, yeah, let him grow up and do that, you know, and maybe even helps train him that way and gets him to where, you know, he takes him to different classes or, you know, enrolls him in, you know, some kind of program. And he's getting him already. And then, you know, he says, Dad, you know, I've been thinking about it. I don't think I want to do that anymore. I want to do this. Now, there may be some disappointment for an earthly father, but after a while, if he explains to you his heart, and why he wants to change, you know, most fathers are going to say, yeah, son, go for it. That sounds great. And that's an earthly evil heart, you know, because yeah. God says you being evil right. know how to give good gifts to your kids. So I think, and I've had to work on this because as pastors in this past generation, it was all about, Lord, you have your perfect will. And if I get out of it, then, you know, I'm, you know, working with the enemy or whatever, yeah. you know, it's like, I've totally disappointed you and there's no hope for me. And so you always want to stay right in this perfect place, but
right.
being in the perfect place is just being in him.
Yeah.
Is remaining in him. That's a perfect place.
Yeah.
Whether you're pastoring or whether you're at a job that you work hard every single day and, you know, and you're just barely making ends meet, but you're in him and you're doing it for his glory. You're working as unto the Lord. Man, he's happy.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Right.
At all times. And I think it's interesting because, you know, God said, delight yourself in me and I'll give you the desires of your heart. So God knows that there's desires in you. God knows there's things that he's put in you. There's things that might seem totally unchurchy or whatever that are from God. But sometimes we limit those desires to just, well, it has to fit in this category or that category to be God. Well, God gives us desires to create things, to start businesses, to travel, to start a new art project, to do whatever. God gives us desires.
Right.
And I think that the church as a whole is in a place where God is maturing the body of Christ, getting us to stand on our own two feet and to move forward in the direction we feel led to go in, and trust him that he'll get us, like I said, from A to B. Like, if you got up every day, think about this. This is somebody, I heard someone say this a long time ago, and it totally made sense to me. Like, if your relationship with God is, before you get out of bed, you got to ask him, you know, what color shirt should I put on today? You know, what, you know, should I brush my teeth or not? Like, if you need a word from God to get that done, you need to work on your relationship with God, right? Like, if your own kids got up every day, if my son got up every day and was like, Dad, what shirt should I wear? Should I brush my teeth? Dad, should I eat today? I would just be like, are you kidding me? So God's given us choice. He's given us the ability to choose what is it that you would like. I mean, is it possible that God says to you, wow, what would you like to do?
That's out of the box, though, for a lot of people.
Right.
They think that's...
It's all about what he wants.
How can I make a decision?
But what if what he wants is us to grow up as mature sons and daughters in Christ and us make decisions and know that he's with us in what we choose? Because if you're in God, he knows your heart. You're not out there choosing what's evil. You're wanting to do what's right from a right heart. And so I think that's part of the journey, is growing up in God and beginning to stand on our own two feet, be the sons and daughters he's called us to be, and move forward knowing he's with us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to rise up and to be promoted. He wants us to have success in every area of our lives. And wherever there is defeat, it's just an opportunity for success, right?
Amen.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to just give a word real quick.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
And then I'm going to put the microphone
Absolutely.
Down and turn it back boop, to
okay.
you.
Okay. That's good.
Okay. What's your name?
Herman.
Say that again.
Herman.
So I just feel in my heart like the Spirit of the Lord, there's great favor over your life. And there's a realm of leadership that he's put on you. When I look at you, I feel this authority that the Spirit of the Lord has given you great authority in the spirit realm, but that authority is going to manifest also in the natural, and that God's hand is on you because there's decisions you made to walk a certain way, to go a certain direction in your life, and I feel like the Spirit of the Lord wants you to know that it's like you being at the head now. And it may not look like that in the natural yet, but I feel like he is promoting you and wanting to move you forward into a place where I feel like I don't know what you do. I don't even need to know. I just feel like that it's like the anointing flows from the head down, and God's going to bless you and anoint you. And I feel like that there's just great favor over you, and it's going to impact people, that it's almost like he's put them under you or in your care. And there's things in your life that God is straightening out right now. There's areas where it's like you haven't known which way to go. And I feel like that he's creating a straight path for you in this time. And that even in next year, as we get into 2018, I feel like doors of opportunity are going to open for you that are going to be incredibly financial, good doors, where there's just blessing and there's certain things that he has for you. But favor is on you. And I feel like that there's like an entrepreneur inside of you also. Like, there's this entrepreneurial thing in you where if whatever you set your hands to will prosper, whatever door you choose to go through, you'll prosper. And God is with you just because of decisions you've made in your heart. I want to say, even like the last 6 months, there's decisions you've made in your heart just to go a certain way, to trust him. It's almost like like making a line in the sand, almost like I'm going this way. Like I'm choosing, making a choice to do this. And I just feel like God is, he's with you, man. So bless you and prosper.
That's yeah. Awesome, bro.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, this is him telling you. he's working it right now on your behalf. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. You're a man of enterprise. Mm-hmm. And his favor's over you. So regardless of what things look like or what things have gone on, throw that to the wayside. He's with you and he's for you. So anyway. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, Josh moves in the prophetic gifts, and so basically what he's doing, he's connecting with something that God is saying about you. And that's what he's doing. He's communicating something that the Lord's saying to you, and he's doing it in his best interpretation of what he's sensing in his heart. His Josh way. That's right. Love you, brother. Thank you.
Love you too.
Yeah, praise God. So we've got a few more minutes. Joe, would you come on up? Is that okay? I know it's kind of awkward, and you're but it's good. We're just going to sing "Happy Birthday" to you. No, no. The reason they're in. Come on up. No, Joe. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to put you on the spot. No, but I want to share. I just want to share what God has done the past 2 weeks, okay? Because I think it will encourage individuals. Because, you know, Joe is somebody that we figured out like 2010, pretty much been in each other's life. And it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I'm not exactly sure the timeline. I've been trying to figure it out. That through some circumstances, our relationship basically got like broken. You know, we were meeting each other for coffee, and it seems like coffee is just the way for people in the kingdom. But, and it's, you know, not that we didn't love each other. I mean, you know, that was obvious once we reconnected, but, I a couple times was, he lives down off of 32nd and is it Meade? And yeah, on 27th. And I would drive by 32nd because that's the way I would go to your house. And I'd think, oh, because kind of after everything all blew over, and I won't get into the details, it's all unnecessary. But, you know, just the enemy, the way he works is his ways sometimes in our lives to stop us from moving forward in God together. But I would go, oh, should I call Joe? And it's like there was something in me that said, I don't know what to say, or, you know, and I don't know what you were thinking maybe on your end. If you were thinking of maybe getting hold of me sometime, probably it was probably the case. So fortunately, Gay and Christine ran into each other at the store, and Gay initiated a contact, said, hey, let's go out to coffee. So this was about a week and a half ago, wasn't it? We went out to coffee, and it was like, and I told him this the other night, and I believe this is kind of what you and I are talking about is that, see, we didn't hang around for 4 years, but we were both moving in the Lord in our process of growth. But for some reason, it's almost like our relationship grew during that time. Now, that doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't you say that? I would say that whatever God did in each of us, we're now more connected than ever. And this is only after like 2 or 3 times together. And what I'm trying to say is that we're not in ordinary days. We're in very significant days. And I think that's what Josh is trying to communicate, that, you know, God's giving us an opportunity to restore years that the locust had eaten. And the thing is that it's not that we have to restore them. He's doing it. And but today is Joe's 50th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, big 50. So
hard to believe.
And do you have anything you want to share? I know you don't like to be, or do you want to like add just anything you can?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you for the birthday.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks for the birthday wishes. It's hard to believe.
I still feel like I'm 35.
Jesse's going to ask you to hold.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Josh was talking about a lot of the stuff I've been hitting the last week on so many points. And Josh said something, the Lord gave me a dream, and the dream was, if I go this way to the right, he was talking about not having fear about the way you go.
Here, I'll hold it for you.
And about the direction you go. And so I've been seeking the Lord about this dream because I went to the right, and it was very rough. It was terrible. And I ran into a lot of very mean people on this road, and I was trying to get back to go to the left. So if you could pray for me about which way, you know, I know God will work it to my good, but you know, I'm trusting that God's going to speak to us. But I felt like that was for me, and some that whatever happens on our journey as we go, that, you know, God will always work it out for our benefit, because we have favor.
And, that's right. Even our mistakes, he can work for our good. Amen.
Excuse me. But I'm really feeling something in my spirit, and I really feel like God is really talking to me about identity and, like, who we are as individuals and in him. And one of the things that really a lot of people will miss in their Christian walk is because we tend to try to fit a model so much that we don't let the Holy Spirit, like, define us who we are in him. And who God defines who we are in him is exactly who you want to be. It's exactly the person before God knew, or before we were born, God knew us. And he had a plan for us. And I just really feel like, for this church, when God begins to define us, our identity, who we are in him, and we come together, then we have an identity for the church, who we are as a church. And then we can just begin to move in that identity and who we are. And then all of a sudden, the plan of God just seems to just come right into place, no problem. So I was just really feeling that in my spirit about, let God define who you are. Let God define who you are. And say, God, if there's anything in me that is not who I'm supposed to be in you, then, Lord, I just want you to show me. And I want you to break off anything that's going to keep me back, because his love is so far greater than anything we could ever think of. It's just so vast. And,
amen.
And his grace and who he is just awesome.
Amen.
Yeah. He gets better all the time, doesn't he?
Yeah. Amen. That's good. That's really good. Praise God. Yeah, so value relationships. And if you have relationships, I'm just going to encourage you, that maybe have been broken, and they were ones like where you weren't necessarily being abused or something like that. I'm not talking about an abusive relationship. I'm talking about relationships that maybe you lost for whatever reason. Maybe it was a disagreement. Maybe it was distance. Maybe someone moved away. And you knew that that person was connected to you. You knew that that relationship wasn't meant to be just something that, an acquaintance, but it's somebody deep that God put in your life. He does it for a reason. It's for iron to sharpen iron. It's so that words of exhortation and words of building each other up can be exchanged. And so my encouragement with today is to ask the Lord if there's any relationships that he wants to rekindle back in your life. Because I believe that they were put there for a reason. Now, sometimes it's just for a season. But if there's people that maybe the Lord's putting back on your heart, maybe reach out to them or ask him to do something supernatural. But I have been so encouraged and blessed being reconnected with both you and Christine, it's amazing. And I know that you know, again, it's not just about us, you know, that God really wants to do something in his body, you know. And again, you know, I know sometimes someone going to another church for whatever reason, which is the most stupidest thing, it's like it breaks the relationship. Oh, I go to that church, you go to the, we can't associate. It's like, give me a break. I mean, all that is like they're living in a different house. But I mean, you know, there's if they were connected with you, you still should be able to have relationship and exchange that love. I mean, we've got to get away from playing these games. We got to be real people. You know, we got to be true individuals in Christ so that the world can see some love. Because unfortunately, the world does not see the love that Jesus talks about, that love that when the world sees it, they're going to know that we're his and they're going to want what we have. But as long as we have division and strife and bad feelings, you know, they're not going to necessarily want a part of what we have. Right? Yeah.
Right. And I think that really kind of hinges on the identity thing.
It does.
And that is, you can always be who God defined you to be as a person in the giftings that you have, that no matter where you go, you can always be that person with everybody around you. And I think that is just such a positive impact that you can have on people no matter where you're at. Right. And then God can use you to minister in a way that nobody else can. Just you being you in him and just letting him, you know, guide you and direct you to do things.
Amen.
And then when you leave, you know, you've made a positive impression, they're going, who was that person?
Yeah.
They acted like they went here all the time. You know, I've never seen him before. Okay, whatever. Or, you know, he gave me an awesome word from God, you know, or they laid hands on me and I got healed, you know.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So does anyone else have anything on their heart they want to add? Or so does anyone need any prayer? Because I know Joe is a praying man, and really, if you have illness in your body, sickness or disease, I mean any kind, he's one that believes that as your design is in heaven, it should be here on this earth. Both him and Christine both. Well, someone's pointing at you. Anyone? Sickness in your body? No? Okay. Oh, you do. She ratted you out.
I ratted her out too.
Oh, both of you, huh? Okay. Are you good for that, bro? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I mean, let the gift be realized and ministered, right?
Amen. Okay, so
for me, I've got this really bad sinus infection going on, and it's not quite pneumonia yet, but if the antibiotics will start working faster.
Thank you, Lord.
I just ask for God.
I will say one thing. I was just given a diagnosis of Hashimoto's that it wasn't a has had. It's a you do have. It's an autoimmune.
Okay. Well, there you go. That definitely, Lord. She's ratting you at Cameron.
I know what it is, but I can't.
Okay. It's all good, honey. Anyone else need prayer? I'm going to go ahead and pray closing, but if you do want prayer, I know Joe and Christine would be happy to pray some more for anyone, so after the service is closed. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your body. Thank you, Lord, for friendship, Lord, in that body, and thank you, Lord, for family.
Yeah.
And Lord, I pray that you teach us, all of us, Lord, how to be good, healthy families, Lord, in our own homes, and how to be a healthy family here. Lord, that we would be able to move beyond differences and maybe even temperament issues, Lord, that we'd be able to let those be building blocks, Lord, for greater relationships. And we thank you, Lord, for your love. And we just look forward, Lord, to being further transformed into who you've called us to be, transformed into your image. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You guys have an awesome day. Derek, bless you, bro. Love you too. Tell Melanie hi, okay? Look forward to seeing her. Hey, Jackson.